Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Just a few more minutes. Father, we just love and honor and adore you. You are the worthy one. You were worthy. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. You're the King of kings and the Lord of glory. We honor and love and adore you and praise you and magnify you, God. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise, God. We praise the name of Jesus. We praise your holy name, O Lord God Almighty. You're the worthy one. You're the worthy one. You're the righteous one. You're the mighty God. You're the holy one, and we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord God. Oh, we love you, Lord God Almighty. Praise your holy name. Oh, Father, we love you, God. We are so grateful for you, Lord. Oh, we're so grateful for your presence and your power, God. Oh, we can't get enough of it, Lord, and we're so grateful for you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, that you meet with us, Father God. We thank you, God, for your presence tonight, Father God. I thank you for your power and your majesty, Father God, and your revealing of who you are to us. Oh, God, we are so grateful and thankful, Lord. Father, I just thank you, Lord, as your word comes forth tonight, that you have something to say to all of us, Father God. And I just thank you, God, that you speak through your servant tonight, Father God. And I just say, have your way, Lord. I just yield myself to you, Lord. I don't want my way. I want your way. Teach us. Teach us tonight. Show us. Reveal yourself to us. Take us to a deeper level, Father God. Teach us about your presence and your power. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Is he not good all the time? My goodness. Whew. Oh, wow. Whew. Can never get enough of his presence. I'm all hot now. Whew. Anyway, I really appreciate EJ. You just usher in his presence, you know. And it's just so important to do that when we meet, you know. He's just so worth it, you know, so worthy. My glasses are fogging up. It's his, whew, just get all, whew, you know. It's his, he's so amazing. Anyway, you know, we've been talking about the manifestation of God, his desire to manifest his presence in and through us on this earth. And I've been talking about it, you know, I talked about how there's the overarching plan that God has, that none perish but all have eternal life. It's his great desire, and that, you know, we each individually have ask him to be our personal Lord and Savior, and so we have this amazing relationship with him, and we have this wonderful power on the inside of us, and it was never meant to be just for us. And anyway, I talked last week a little bit about some of the hindrances to the flow of the Holy Spirit through us. I haven't really gotten into the details about the gifts of the Spirit, which I'm getting to that, but I've just kind of been setting a stage to talk about, you know, getting things cleared out of the way so Holy Spirit can really flow through us. And you know, I talked last week about the issue of just a few little things that I just want to recap was, you know, that stubbornness can hinder God moving through us because we're not willing to cooperate with him. And if we are stuck in our own will and ways, we can't, that just stops up the Holy Spirit and does not allow him to move through us. Another thing that I mentioned was the issue of, what was it I was going to say? Reasonings. You know how Pastor said that he didn't, we shouldn't live in our... We can't live in our what is it he said? Trying to think here real quick. anyway, reasonings are not the place that we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to be walking in our own. If we start reasoning out why we should do something, why we shouldn't do something, it's living in the conscience. And Pastor said, you're not supposed to live in your conscience. You're supposed to be living by faith in His Word, in God's Word. And so we really need to make sure that we're careful in our walk with the Lord, that we don't, live in that place of the conscience where you can reason away obedience to the Lord. And then I also talked about the yoke of the Lord, you know, that there's a yoke. No matter what in this life, you're either going to be yoked with the devil or you're going to be yoked with the Lord. And when we're yoked with Jesus, you know, He says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And I mentioned how Matthew Henry in his commentary talked about how the yoke of the Lord is lined with the love of God. And there's just this wonderful holy invitation by Jesus to put us willingly putting our head in that yoke with Jesus and to be cooperating with Him with the things that He wants to do on this earth. And that's really what we need to do with Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit was put on the inside of me to help me to know what God the Father wants to do in and through me. And I'm cooperating in that plan to reveal Jesus to the world, because that's really why we're here. You know, once you get to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a reflection of who He is. And so the reflection of Jesus is love, you know, for God so loved the world that He sent Jesus. So I want to move on and talk about the fact that, God isn't like a genie in a bottle where He goes, poof, He comes out and He goes, okay, now I'm going to fix something, you know. He has chosen to use us on this earth, and I've mentioned that before, and He equipped us with His Spirit on the inside of us, and power. We have power on the inside of us. So I wanted to mention the fact that He's not looking for your abilities. He's looking for your availability. And that's something to really think about as in your walk with the Lord, because a lot of times we look at our shortcomings, we disqualify ourselves because we look at, oh, you know, I'm not good at this or I'm not good at that. You know, if I had not been called years ago, and I am talking, I'm trying to think, it would have been before Sarah was even born, and I was up at the altar, and I mentioned to you guys about how I was before the Lord, oh, Lord, I'll do whatever You call me to do, and the Lord said that I would preach and teach the Word, and I was like, what? And if I had looked at my own abilities, I would have disqualified myself, because in myself, I could not see me doing that. You know, I was very shy. I get up here, you know, and it looks like it's something that comes very naturally to me, but it is not. And I always tell everybody, you know, I'm getting the dog saved, because Ron gets to hear what you get to hear first. So one of these days he's going to get saved, you know. So anyway, but, you know, I go over the material, and then, of course, I let Holy Spirit lead it, you know. But, you know, it's process, you know. It's, you know, and so anyway. But and it goes back to the whole issue of opportunities. And I'd mentioned that, you know, a couple of years ago I was walking through the gym and the Lord was saying, there's opportunities, there's opportunities. And the Lord told me that when the opportunities came, I was to say yes. And so I am teaching a high school class, which I would have never in a bazillion years ever seen myself doing. And that's one of the things you need to be careful of. It's not what you see yourself doing. It's what does God see you doing. And so, and the thing is, it's a supernatural work, you know. So it has nothing to do with your natural abilities. And a supernatural manifestation does not, it defies the laws of this natural world. So it's going to go beyond my abilities and capabilities. And what does it do? It shines the light on Jesus, not on me. And so He gets the glory and not me. I'm just the vehicle by which He uses to, because I get out of the way and let Him do it, you know. And I get in on board with Him and say, okay, if You say I'm going to do this, then, you know, I'm going to do this, you know. And because it's certainly not in my capabilities, you know, in my natural abilities. One of the things I wanted to read was in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. I want to start with verse 4. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." And the importance of all of this is that in verse 6, it says there are varieties of effects. That's from the New American Standard. But the New King James says it's also translates it as diversities of activities. So what we see here is there's a variety to the way that the Holy Spirit manifests through in and through us. But it's the same Spirit, Holy Spirit the same. And as I talked before about the, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're all on the same page about what needs to be done. You know, God has the overarching plan that none perish. You know, he sent his Son into this world so that, you know, the world would be saved. So all of the gifts, the diversities of the gifts, the manifestations of his power, all point to Jesus, always. It is always going to point to Jesus Christ. It's always going to point to the Word of God. And so that's something to remember when it comes to these manifestations of the Spirit. Because there are people out there that say there's a manifestation of the Spirit of God and it'll be some odd, strange thing that's not really pointing towards God. You need to be able to discern what is and what is not, you know, a manifesting of the Spirit of God, you know. The other thing I wanted to point out is in verse 7 it says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And so that's for over, like particularly in a church service, you know, it's for the common good when the manifestation of the Spirit happens. It's for all of us. And it's for all of us for a good thing. Remember that that the gifts of the Spirit reveal who God is. Let's see. Another thing I wanted to, let's see here. I'm just going to read down here real quick. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And that's something for us to remember. It's not about us controlling the gifts. It's about Holy Spirit controlling the gifts. And he chooses who gets what gifts at what times for whatever situation the need arises. And I think it's interesting, Paul identifies a spiritual gift as a supernatural ability bestowed on an individual by the Holy Spirit, not as a heightened natural ability, which I said. So each gift is a manifestation of the Spirit, and it's the visible evidence of his activity. The Holy Spirit bestows the gifts to whom he wills on the occasion, as the occasion recommends from the divine viewpoint. So it's from God's viewpoint, not from ours. And I wanted to point that out with the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. You have to be very careful that you are led by the Spirit when you are if you feel the unction to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You just don't do it for anybody and for any situation. It's when God says to do it. And you have to be careful. I had an occasion where I laid hands on someone, and I really shouldn't have done that. I did it it was like I didn't have peace about it, but I did it anyway, and I found out right away why I shouldn't have done that. It was a demonic activity situation, and I was laying my hands on someone for healing, and I shouldn't have done it. And so, you know, just because someone has a need, you need to pray. And I'm not saying that we don't pray for people, but like in your everyday activities, really listen to what the Spirit is telling you to do in the situation, because there's varieties of ways of doing things, okay? Another thing is, don't put yourself in a box regarding spiritual gifts. And I said that before, it has nothing to do with your natural abilities. And Holy Spirit determines the gifts that you receive. Now, the Holy Spirit may consider your background of education and life experiences in the decision of what gifts to give you, but frequently that's not where, you know, where the final decision is with Holy Spirit. You know, again, you know, you end up being used in something that you would not consider yourself qualified in the natural world, you know. And one of the things I thought was interesting, Rick Renner used Paul as an example of this. He said that, you know, Paul, when he had his life-changing encounter, you know, on the road to Damascus, that, you know, you would have think in the natural that he would be sent to the Hebrews, you know. You know, he was a former rabbi, he was fluent in Hebrew. And it seemed like Jerusalem would be the place that, you know, God would send him, but he chose to send him to the Gentile world. And if Paul had reasoned within himself and said, well, surely God's going to use these all this knowledge that I have, I've got all of this education, you know, he could have put himself in a box and not allowed God to move him out into the places that he needed to be in to prepare him for all the apostolic journeys that he took. And so we have to be careful that we don't look at our educational backgrounds and our life experiences and say, this is what qualifies me to do it, to move in this gift or that gift or be used in this way or that way. What I would ask you to do is dream big and let God show you what his plans and purposes are, because it's really an adventure with him. He'll take you and use you in things that you had never thought you would ever be used in before, which I'm proof positive of it standing up here, and teaching a high school class, which I never thought I would teach in a million, bazillion years, you know, and it's turned out to be an extremely rewarding experience, and God has equipped me to do it, and so it's exciting, and I get to change the next generation, you know, which is really exciting. Another thing we need to remember is faith plays a key part in the manifestation of the gifts. It says in Romans 8:32, it says, you know, in Christ we've been given all good things freely, but the promises of God have to be appropriated by faith, and the gifts are going to be manifested according to your faith. And so, what do you believe? And so, I wanted to read Mark 16:17. As I was studying, I'm like, I should have included that in my notes. So, I'm going to read real quick in my Bible that's got lots of little things in it, because I've marked all these places that are just wonderful places in the Word. The entire Word is wonderful. But anyway, I want to read in Mark 16 and 17. And it's at the end of Jesus's, you know, Jesus has, it's right before he ascends to God into heaven. And we know this as the Great Commission. And it says here in verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So he's talking about supernatural things here. Things that defy the natural laws of this world. And if I believe, then it will happen through me. I mean, it's a done deal, okay? It's just a matter of me being available, you know? If this is what Jesus is saying I'm going to do, then I'm going to do it because I believe, okay? So I wanted to define the word gift. I thought this was really interesting. Rick Renner expanded on the whole idea of the gifts of the Spirit. So what does the word gift mean? It's charisma. It's derived from the word charis, and it's the Greek word for grace. But when the word charis becomes charisma, it speaks of grace-given gifts. In other words, these are not gifts earned or deserved. Rather, these are gifts imparted supernaturally and divinely by God's grace. And so there's no room for self-boasting. And you can't boast in or self-glory because they're not natural talents developed by one's own ability. And then I love this book. It's The Holy Spirit in You. It's an oldie goldie book that I grew up on and it's just taught me so much about Holy Spirit. But it's kind of like my, it's one of those books I'll never get rid of. Well, it says here that the gifts of the Spirit are freely given by God to His children. A gift is not a reward for good behavior, but a sign of relationship. Woohoo! And that's what I've been talking about is relationship. It's all tied together. I feel like I'm knitting, I'm quilting right now. It's that putting together of the word because it all connects into this great big tapestry. And so that relationship that you have with God, you develop it over the years. And it's not like I have to be good enough to get a gift from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, one of these days, you know, when I'm good enough, I'm going to be able to start, you know, prophesying. One of these days, you know, when I'm good enough, I'm going to be able to lay my hands on the sick and they recover. That's not what the word says. It's because of this intimate relationship that I develop and I cultivate over the years, that I am yours and you are mine relationship. As I cultivate that and I learn and I put my neck in the yoke of Jesus, that yoke which is, easy and the burden which is light, and He's leading and guiding me, and I'm on this grand adventure with God. And then He says, I think I'm going to use Connie to teach my word. I'm going to, use her to, and I'm like, really? and it's born out of relationship. Now, there's a preparation time to be had, which I didn't just start getting up here and start teaching immediately. I had times along the way where I did, but there was a development that took place. Just because God says that He's going to use you in a certain area, it's not like poof, it just happens right at that moment. But there's a development and a learning and a growing because you need to learn how to operate in those gifts. It's a supernatural power, I wanted to, and I know that our pastors have brought this out before, but I wanted to bring this up too, the connection of love in all of this. And it's in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. I was reading again, preparing, and I was like, I should have included that. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. It's 1 Corinthians 13. Again, very familiar scriptures to us. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And I want to remind you, remember how John Bevere talked about how, ministers would come through, and he'd take them, and the Lord revealed to, they had a, the gifts would manifest through some of these great big ministers that would come in. And some of them were, very godly, but others were, not so godly. And he was talking about the fact that we need to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, which is a reflection of the character and the nature of God. That ties into this whole thing of love. Because who is God? God is love. It is the key characteristic of who He is. So I'm supposed to be a reflection of Him, and so I should be reflecting His love as I manifest those gifts. It isn't for my personal gain. It's not about me, woohoo, I'm all that, It's about me letting God minister through me to someone who has a need met, and as I do that, it's His love that comes out, and therefore, I'm not harming other people. And what, the thing, and I had read that scripture that John Bevere mentioned about, where they stood before God, and it's like, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name. We did all these things, and he said, I never knew you. Well, why didn't God know them? Because they didn't look like him. They did not look like him. And the caution for us is, okay, I can move in these powerful gifts, these supernatural gifts, but what is the spirit behind it? You know, is it really coming from love? You know, is it really? And if it is coming from love, then that's a good thing. You know, John Bevere said that when you're developing the fruit of the spirit, it helps you to finish the race well. You know, it's a great safeguard. Because, you know, there's some people that can operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but their personal lives are a mess, you know. And that shouldn't be the case with us. It all has to line up. It goes back to the who and the do. You know, who are you and what are you doing? Is it all lining up into that oneness? And it goes back to, you know, God is a God of oneness and unity, and I should be unified in his image to the world. You know, so that when those gifts are operating through me, I'm not doing harm to others and fooling myself. I don't ever want to fool myself. I can't tell you how I would pray to the Lord and I'd say, Lord, I don't want to be doing things and thinking I'm doing the right thing when I'm really not. So please show me, and he'll show you. You know, if it's coming out of the wrong spirit, you know, we know what's going on the inside of us. You know, so we need to make sure we keep that all in order and develop love. You know, his love, agape love, is really not of this world at all. And it's a love that really is beyond my understanding, but yet I'm called to pursue that. I'm called to become, you know, more like him. And so I have to learn to do that. And that comes with, like, walking through times when you have to forgive, you know, others, and you have to love them, and you have to pray for them, even though they spitefully used you. That's agape love, you know. Despite being hurt, you make a choice to forgive. All right, so let's see here. I want to move on. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, too, is, and I thought this was really good because John Bevere pointed this out, that there's been these extreme of ideas about the manifesting of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. And I've seen this over the years in the different places I've been. One of the things is that God permanently gives a gift or several gifts to certain individuals, and then they, in the corporate setting, become the ones that are the people who pray for people who have for healing, or the official speaker in tongues, or interpreters, or that sort of thing. And in 1 Corinthians 12:8, I like what John Bevere says. He brings up this scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:8, and it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." And it goes through, you know, to another faith, to another the effecting of miracles. You know, it goes through a list of these different manifestations of the Spirit, and it's talking about a corporate setting. And so we have to be careful. In the corporate setting, God can choose to use different people in the corporate setting to exercise different gifts. So not, you know, God may use you in a certain gifting, and you may see that you operate in that more frequently than another gift, but that doesn't mean that that's the only gift that you can have that God would use you in. And so that's something we need to keep in mind. The other thing is, we have to be careful, too, that we're not spectators in the services, in the corporate setting. Now, the gifts of the Spirit manifest not only in the corporate setting, but also wherever you go, because you carry the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And, you know, I can't minister to your coworkers or whoever you're meeting with along the way, and you can't minister to the people that I, you know, encounter, because it's my sphere. But in the corporate setting, I want to talk about this really quickly, is that, you know, on a Sunday morning, we need to come with a holy expectation to be used of God. And we need to have a desire for it. And I have to tell you, I have been complacent. It's real easy to sit in our chairs, or at least for me, on a Sunday morning and not have any particular responsibilities, you know. I know lots of people are here working and doing and all the rest. But I need to be having an expectancy and a desire to be used. And the reason is because we all benefit. You know, what God may want to use me in it benefits the entire corporate body. And the thing you have to remember is, and we have to watch the way we think about things, it's not just Pastors Alan and Marcia that are called to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, or EJ, or, you know, Nate, or, you know, the worship team, or whatever. You know, we have a tendency to think we're just the audience when we're not. We're the body. We are all connected together. And so all of us are important. And so when we come in together, we really need to have an expectancy to be used and ask God and pursue that, Lord, how would you use me today? And one of the things that I like, let me see here if I want to make sure I'm not going to get ahead of where I'm at. I want to just quickly talk about the whole thing of the mechanics of it. So like when you're in a service, one of the things that I've really appreciated as I've been here at our church is that things are done decently and in order. And meaning that, you know, there's certain things that, you know, we need to observe. And so one of the things is like if the Lord gives me, sometimes the Lord will give me a picture of something when we're in praise and worship, and I'll just have kind of a, oh, you know, I need to talk about this. Like, I'll, you know, I think, you know, maybe this is something for the body. So I'll come up and I'll say something to him, like, you know, somewhere when it's a good time to speak to him, like, you know, maybe we're in between, you know, from the first time, you know, from the worship service, or maybe we're in the middle of worship and I can just go over and tell him really quickly. And he can determine, is that something that needs to be, you know, said? You know, is that a prophetic word that needs to come forth? Also, I know, I think, Linda, don't you do that too? If you have a, you know, oh, I think there's a particular thing in, somebody's in the service that needs healing for a certain thing. And, you know, our pastors really want us to move in the gifts, and they're about training us up. And this body, anybody who's been in here for any length of time knows that they're changing, they have been developing us into a mature group of believers. And so, but I appreciate those the carefulness, the way that we carefully exercise the gifts, because it can come off in the wrong way, and I have seen that happen in other places. And so I appreciate that there's a way to do it. And so anyway, so that was something that I wanted to, the other thing I wanted to point out too is we have to be careful that we don't believe that the Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us all nine gifts of the Spirit. And that at any time, da-da, you know, I'm going to, woo, you know, I'm laying my hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You know, you're like, you're the super, you know, super Christian, you know, and that you can turn it on and turn it off whenever you want, you know, and that's not what it is. It's a flowing with the Holy Spirit. And again, it's when he says, okay, this is what you need to do, you know, and then I move and do. And again, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, you know, but it, for to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And remember, again, any of these manifestations of the Spirit point to Jesus, and it's for our good. You know, it's not going to be something that is a tearing down or, something that would be hurtful or harmful to others. It's going to be a building up, edifying, a good thing, you know, for us. And then I want to talk about the issue of desire. 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And that word, earnestly desire, it is to be zealous for, to burn with desire, to pursue ardently, to desire eagerly or intensely. And I have to tell you, you know, there have been times in my life when I have done that, when I have been very ardent, when I have been very intense, when I have really been zealous for the gifts of the Spirit, but I've gotten lax. I'm just being honest, you know. It's so easy to be in my own little corner of my own little world and operating. You know, we have our intercessory prayer before service, you know, and I know that's an area that I'm called to, is intercessory prayer, you know. But you know what? I can't get just in my own little corner of my own little world, you know? I can't be comfy. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, you know, we walk in peace and everything, but you know, you can be so comfortable that you're not really doing what God wants you to do, you know? And it's like what pastors use that example about the frog and the water, and you're starting to turn the water up, you know, and you don't know you're getting boiled, you know? You know, I mean, I don't want to just be gelling in life, you know? I don't want to just be, you know, I want to hear well done, my good and faithful servant. So how do I live in such a way that I hear well done? Well, I'm doing the things that he wants me to do. I am bringing the presence of God wherever I go. And we know the way that the world sees God is through these manifestations of the Spirit. You know, it testifies about who he is. You know, I can talk and talk and talk about God, but when he heals an unbeliever, you know, that is a testimony, and that you encounter the reality of the living God. And so that's what we are called to do. And so I need to make sure that I'm with his plan on that. You know, I think it's like, God, oh, help me to understand that you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son. You know, we say that scripture so flippantly, for God so loved the world, you know, and it caused him to move in a way where he gave up his most precious possession, his Son, for me. And so if he did that for me, it didn't stop with me. There's so many more people he wants to reach, and he uses me to reach them. And so I've got to get a hold of myself and say, wake up, Connie, you've got something you need to be doing, you know. And so I need to have the desire to move in that. So, going back to our church services, we need to be doers of the word in our church services. So that means we need to be pursuing the gifts in our corporate meetings, and also too in your everyday living outside the church body. Have an expectancy. Expect the power of God to work in and through you. And the thing, this is so amazing to me, this statement, God needs me. You know how many times we say, God, I need you? God needs me. He needs each and every one of us. And that's the amazing thing. And it's because this is the way he chose to do it. You know, he put his Spirit on the inside of me. He gave me the power, which is the resurrection power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. He gave me everything to overcome in this life. And it wasn't just about me personally overcoming. It was about me bringing a whole bunch of people with me, you know. And so I just love the fact that he needs me, you know. And that goes back to that relationship with him. Oh, Lord, you need me. I need you too. What do you want me to do today, you know. And so you get into that prayer closet and you start talking to him. It goes back to that Mark 16:19, it says here, so then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. And so I love that God worked with them, and that's that word. I can't even say it, but it's from S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S, which is, it's to cooperate with, it's to work together, it's to be a fellow worker. Don't you want to be a fellow worker with God? I mean, that's awesome to think that the creator of everything wants to co-labor with me. Is that not an amazing thing to think about, you know? I love this. It's that working together, and it's the word son together, and ergeo is to work, cooperate, help, collaborate, co-labor. There's a practical harmony or synergism between the vertical faith in God and the horizontal works to a needy world. Isn't that beautiful to think about? That there is a vertical faith, that there's a synergism or a harmony between vertical faith in God and the horizontal works to a needy world. Isn't that beautiful to think about that? That's just wonderful. My faith in the Lord, as I have that faith to believe that, you know, he wants to let his power move through me and that I can affect this change on this earth, an eternal change. Isn't that amazing to think about? I mean, that's power. That's real power. Oral Roberts said, there is a real interdependence between God and man in the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, it's not about Holy Spirit coming down like the body snatchers, okay? Ba-bam, you know, he gets in you and you're like, oh, you know. It's not like that at all, okay? You know, some people have done that, you know, we're like, oh, you know. And I know Pastor Marcia talked about a meeting where they were quacking like ducks. I'm like, you know what? I just could not do that. I mean, really? I mean, God must have been laughing, you know? What now? Yes, exactly. Exactly. But anyway, and that's one of the things I was going to say. It says the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, reminds us that the gifts of the Spirit are inspiration, not compulsion, and provide no excuse for erratic behavior. So you don't have to just go there, just zap me, Jesus, just zap me. You know, you're not doing that. It's that flowing. It's that putting your head in that, the yoke, you know, and letting Jesus lead and guide you in the way. Holy Spirit's on the inside helping you. And it goes back to, I wanted to read this in 1 Corinthians 12. I've just got a tiny bit of time left and I'll try to end on this. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So it's that whole thing of, you know, the pagans were like, woo, you know, doing all sorts of crazy things in their temples. And he's like, this is not the way it is with God. There's conscious control. And remember how I talked about Holy Spirit when he comes into us, you know, he's with our spirit, which is regenerated, and Holy Spirit governs our soul, where the mind, will, and the emotions are, and then the Holy Spirit, in partnership with our spirit, uses the soul and the body as a means of expression. So we're a part of that. We have the ability to think through it. We, you know, Holy Spirit, you learn to, you know, the Holy Spirit, you'll start to feel an unction or some sort of a something on the inside of you that's letting you know, okay, this is what, you know, he's getting my attention, you know, something needs to happen, and you need to develop your ear to hear what he would say. But it's never this, you know, crazy acting stuff, you know. He's dove-like. He strengthens our human personality. He empowers us, and he doesn't overpower us. And all manifestations of the Spirit will harmonize with the truth about Jesus, okay? So I need to stop on that note. But anyway, I'll go ahead and pray and send everybody on your way. But Father, we just love and praise your name, and I just thank you, Father God, for teaching us. I thank you, Father God, for revelation. I thank you, Father God, for opportunities, Father God, that you have for each and every one of us each and every day. I thank you, Father God, that we're looking for the opportunities, Father God, that you have for us. And God, we make a choice to put our hands in your hands and say, we will do what you want us to do. And I thank you, Father God, give us ears to hear what you would say. And God, we choose to listen to you and to do your will. God, bless everyone tonight. And I thank you, God, for being with us, Father God, each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.